Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our eighth annual program on Tanakh, brought to you by Torah in Motion. I want to thank Sher Shemaim for hosting us, Yeshivat Chovevei Torah, being a participant, and it's a pleasure to welcome everybody, especially all the boys from Or Chaim. We'll kick off the program and hear Rabbi Liptak, who really needs like no introduction, an expert Tanakh teacher. He teaches, I say, for me, the most important introduction is he is a Rebbe of our son, Ariel, in the Gush this year. So that's the most important reason. But he teaches in many of the places in Israel. And really, it's a pleasure to have him here. He's been here for many times, and we hope to have you a lot in the future. Without further ado, Rabbi Liptak.
We're going to start by introducing the topic with a vote. Okay. Who here has heard of the mitzvah of Pru Urvu? Okay, now, if someone asked you, is the mitzvah Pru Urvu universal? Like, it's for the all mankind, or just for the Jewish people? Like, is it one of the, what? If it's both, then it's for everybody. So, who would say it's for all mankind? Don't be afraid. Okay? And who would say it's just for the Jewish people? It's only for the Jewish people. So, who says it's only for the Jewish people? A couple of yeshiva bachrin, and most of you would say it's universal, correct? Now, let's say we put this to the Talmud. Anyone ever study that book? That's not today's topic, but we'll relate to it. But if it's for universal, it should be one of the seven Noach laws, isn't it? And is it or not? It's one. Who? Yeah. Everyone agree? Is Pru Urvu one of the seven Noahide laws? Well, where are the seven Noahide laws? Give me an example of one of the seven Noahide laws that everyone knows by heart. Eber Minachai, one. And what's the other one that's, which only religious people usually have trouble with it, called Shofech Dam Adam? No, you remember the first chiasm in the Bible? Shofech Dam Adam, Badam Damo Yishofech? Those are the Noahide laws, aren't they? Are they in Chumash? Are at least some of them in Chumash? Is Shofech Dam Adam Badam Dam Yishafech in Chumash? Eber Minachai? So where in Chumash are they? Well, that's why I gave you that book to look at. Open up your book, the Chumash. It's a nice one. Anyone know where it is? What parsha do you think the seven Noahid laws are going to be in? Very good. Okay. So that narrows it down to about three chapters. Open up Perek Tet. But if you have an art scroll, a stone one, just for the sake of unity, we'll announce pages in the stone. Who's going to announce for me? Chapter 9 is where? Page what? Page 40. Take a look, page 40. Page 40. And just go right to verse 6. Okay. Page 40. Perek Tet. Pasuk Vav, chapter 9, verse 6. Is that one of the seven Noahide laws? Shofech dam adam, ba'adam damo yishofech. That's one of them, isn't it? Now, where's Eber Minachai? Is Eber Minachai there or not? Pasuk Dalet, right there. What's Pasuk Dalet say? Okay. Kol rebeth asher hu chai, lechem yeh lo ochla, ki erech yesav letati, ak basar nafsho bedamo lo tochelu. At least two or three of the seven Noahides are right here. You're right that not all seven aren't explicit here, but this is the source of all of them. It's the rabbinic source for the seven Noahide laws. I wonder why they come up with seven. Why do you think they would come up with seven? That's a strange... Because there's about 57 Noahide laws. And there's also about 200 Tariag Mitzvot, if you count them up. But those numbers are important. Like, no one counted and ended up with 613. You begin with 613 and fill in what you need. Same thing with 39 melachot. You start with the number 39 and then fill them in. That happens a lot. The rabbis start with seven, and then they pick which seven it's going to be. But the source for the seven Noahai laws are these verses. And look how they begin. Look in Pasuk Aleph. And here's Ashir is going to begin here as well. In Perek Tet, Pasuk Aleph. V'yibarech lim et Noach v'et banav v'yomer lehem Pru Urvu u'milu et ha'aretz. What's that sound like? Who's God talking to? Noach and his sons. I think there's, aren't they, aren't, one of the names that Noach's sons are called are B'nai Noach. And if I have seven mitzvah of B'nai Noach, this is the source of them. That's why they're called that. Followed by the mitzvah of B'nai Noach. And look how we conclude them in Pasuk Zayin. V'atem pru'urvu shir tzubar tzurvuba. Could you ask for anything better than that? And that's why some people, like, who reads Chumash carefully, says pru'urvu is one of the seven Noachite laws. And that's if you read Chumash. They asked like those yeshiva bachrim there. You guys said it was only for the Jewish people, right? Because you learned, the Gemara talks about them in Maseches Sanhedrin, around Nunchet, Nuntet, around there. It's around Daf Noach. It's easy to remember. And there, for some reason, they don't count it. Now they don't count it. It's clear to the rabbis that Puravu is only a commandment for the Jewish people. It's a given. They don't even have to prove it. To them, to the Talmud, it's a given that Puravu is only a commandment for the Jewish people. They come up with a question, you know, but I don't want to get, and that's a little complicated, but when you study the sugya in Masechet Sanhedrin, it's crystal clear that the rabbis hold Puravu is only a mitzvah for the Jewish people. It's clearly, it's not counted as one of the seven Noachai laws, because they count the seven Noachai laws, it's not listed. That if anyone, some organizations have the seven Noachai laws that they want to proselytize to mankind. Look at the list one time, if someone accosts you in a shopping mall somewhere, trying to make you a good non-Jew. And they'll give you the list of the seven Noachai laws, it's not there. Otherwise there'd be too many of them. just kidding. Now, what I want to do in the shir today is try to understand what's going on. How could it be? How could it be? It's so obvious that Puravu is a commandment to B'nai Noach. How did the rabbis go and turn everything upside down and say it's only for us? It'll take us a while, but that's the goal of the shir. Now, for a start, we're going to have a little bit of fun. And I want to explain what I think is super pshat here, and then we'll get to real pshat. Okay? Why is God talking to Noach and his sons? Well, there's a section in Chumash that talks about, from Adam to Noach, about, I think there's 10 generations in Pirkei Avot, that's what they count up to, from Adam to Noach. Where did they get that from? Where in Chumash do we know about the 10 generations from Adam to Noach? Anyone know where? That's in the end of Parshat Bereshit in chapter 5. And take a look in chapter, how chapter 5 begins. Chapter 5 is going to be page 22 probably. Yeah, it's like, not fair, it's really 24, but the first two words are in Pasuk. Chapter 5 begins at the bottom of page 22. So it's called Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. And then we have one parsha after the next, one little paragraph, each one with another generation. Now, everyone's seen this before, haven't you? Nothing new. And it talks about he begat, no, it's every generation, but we get some really cool statistics here. And we find out not only how long people live for, like who was the longest one in this list? Good old, that everyone knows from trivia. Methuselah was, I think, how old? 930, something like that. You remember because of 70 with David. But that's the longest. No, that was Adam, I'm sorry. Adam was 930. Methuselah is even longer, I mistake. But for some reason, we don't only know how long they lived for. Chumash also bothers to tell us how old they were when they had the first child. Remember that? Now, don't look yet. From what you remember, how old are people? At what age do they start having children? What? Approximate. At what age?
100.
Around 100 on the average? Okay, because they had to learn a lot. They had to finish yeshiva. Else they had 900 years to live. You know, 100 years being a teenager. Imagine why... You can understand what led to the generation of the flood. Is that what understands? They're living too long? They're messing around? You read that, didn't you? That's in the end of Parakeet. Now, what I want you to do is take a quick look and listen how old people are when they have children. So take a look. Let's take a look. It's easy. It's the first line every time, isn't it? In chapter 5, how old is Adam when he has his first... I mean, Adam doesn't say, does it? Or does say? He's 130. How about Sheit? How old is he when he has a kid? 105. Enosh is how old? 90. Okay, Canaan? 70. Mahalalel? 65. Yered? Numbers go down. 62. Yeah, it starts early. Oh, 162. No, he's taking his time. I'm sorry, my mistake. Hanoch is how old? He's 65, okay. But on the average, anyone statistics or an actuary? On the average, we're about 100, aren't we? Okay, keep going. Yared, Methuselah, He had kids at 187. He's got a long time to live anyhow. And Lamech, how old is he? Cool. He's taking his time. Okay. Now, wait. What did you just say? Someone skipped. I mean, someone cheated.
No, it was
500. No. It says that? Yeah, Pasuk Lamed Bet. She's right. Vayinoach ben 500 shana biyolad Noach et shem v'tchamet Yafet. Anyone ever noticed that before?
No.
Isn't that amazing? Everyone's having kids on the average about 100. And Noach waits 500 years to have a kid? You knew it by heart, didn't you? Everyone knows Noach was 500. Maybe not. Isn't that surprising? You're wondering what Perakeh is doing in Chumash. Why is Noach waiting 500 years to have a kid? Well, was he a tzaddik? Oh, it says so. So he can't be doing something wrong. How do we know he's a tzaddik? It says so. He's the only character in the Bible that Chumash that calls a tzaddik. The rabbis disagree, but they always disagree. I mean, compared to Abraham, he's not just a tzaddik. They're onto something. But why is he waiting 500 years? Yeah? And why would he want to? Yeah, probably things are pretty bad because he's a tzaddik. Why bring up my kids? I'm not gonna. There's no school to send them to. They didn't open up this little thing in Shari Shemai. There's no good school to send my kids to. Why have a child? He's sort of giving up on mankind. There's a reason to have a child. Now, why was he called Noach in the first place? My gosh, what strange name is that? Anyone know why his parents called him Noach? Anyone at the bris and heard the speech? And there wasn't a bris, I'm sorry. Why was he called Noach? Oh, awesome. He knows, he's onto something. If you do the calculation of the years, take a calculator one time. The first child born in the Bible after the death of Adam HaRishon, you have to do the math, but do the calculation. The first child born, when Lamech was born, Adam was still alive. But when Lamech gives birth to a child, he waited a long time, didn't he? 180 something. When Lamech gives birth to a child, it's after Adam HaRishon died. Now, if you're a farmer working the land, this guy, Adam HaRishon, got us in trouble, didn't he? Because what did God say about the land after Adam sinned? Wasn't the land cursed? Remember? And Bezeth. The land was cursed because of Adam. Adam dies, and what are people hoping for? The spell is gone, right? And listen what they said at the bris. Not the bris. At the Simchat Aben. Something. Or Zevet Aben. What do they call them? Find it for me. Why did they call him Noach? Look in Pasuk Chavtet in Parakeh. Vayikra shmo Noach lemor, ze yinachamenu mimaseinu mitzvon yadenu min adama asher hara Hashem. Isn't that exactly what God told Adam HaRishon when he got thrown out? Mankind has great hopes for Noach. Lamech has great hopes for this kid. He's going to fix things. And guess what happens? That own son that was a symbol of hope for mankind doesn't want to have kids. Finally, after 500 years, he has a kid. He wants him to be a rabbi. What's he call him? Shame. Isn't Shame the first rabbi? He's the first Rosh Yeshiva, isn't he? Because what's his name mean? Baruch Hashem Elohei Shame. Shame for living talked about God. He had the right idea. It didn't have much of an effect. But very late in life, Noah's getting started. And how many years later is the flood already? 100 years. When Noach is 600, that's when the flood starts. The flood starts in year 600 to the life of Noach, 600 and 601. Remember that? Something's going on, isn't it? And therefore, when the flood is over, what is God worried about? The flood's over. Who's left? Noach and his three sons and their wives. How do we know that? It says so. What is God worried about? Ever see kids are like their father? And what's he afraid about Noah's kids? What are they going to do? Why bring up? Why start over again? And what's God have to tell him? Approval. I think that at the pshat level, I think that's why God's talking to Noah and his sons, and that's it. Okay? And there's a good reason. But again, I want to understand what Chazal are doing. Chazal are onto something much bigger. Okay? And for some reason, Chazal say the approval is the commandment only for us and not for them. And you know what pasuk they quote? They don't quote the first one, they quote the last one. Yeah. Look again in Perek Tet. Yeah, Va'atem. It's almost like Chazal, in a very cute way, they read it, not as a continuation of the story, but like a little footnote. Yeah. Right, no, Va'atem, it's not the story. Chumash is taking a break and talking to you, the reader. And you, Am Yisrael, at Har Sinai, It says, here's what God told Noah, and you, Vatem, Purvu. Take a look. I'll explain what he said to everybody else. Look in Perek Tet Pasuk Zayin. God already told Noah and his sons, Purvu, Milota Aretz, and the Abram Minachai, and Shofech Dam Adam. And then Pasuk Zayin, the way the rabbis read it, Vatem, who's Vatem? Not Noah and his sons. Vatem, you, the readers of the Bible, and Shul, listening to Kriyas Torah. You, what do you have to do? You, Purvu, Milota Shitsuba. Understand? Vatem Purvu, Shitsuba, Rububa. Did B'nai Yisrael ever fulfill this pasuk? Did we ever fulfill this pasuk? If it's talking to us, where in Chumash did B'nai Yisrael fulfill this? Well, where should it be? Where do we fulfill this to become in Egypt? Do we have a pasuk like that in Egypt? So, yeah. Open up Sefer Shemot, Perek Aleph. I'm sure you remember this one by heart and didn't realize where it's coming from. Shemot, Perek Aleph. Pasuk Zayin, it should be. Still there? One second. Shemot Perek Aleph. Remember the 70 Shivim Nefesh we go down? Pasuk Zayin. Perek Aleph Pasuk Zayin. This is the first Aliyah. Remember, Rabbi Yamid Yosei B'chol Lacha B'chol Adorahu? Page 292 in the Art Scroll. Uvnei Yisrael, what's it say? Paru. Vayishritzu. What a strange word, isn't it? Vayishritzu. Vayirbu v'yatzmu ba'od v'timilei haritzotam. Isn't that neat? You see how they put the two together? No. That's the introduction to this year. Now the rest of this year I want to explain to you how the rabbis are reading not Pshuto Shel Mikra, but Pshuto Shel Torah. Why are the rabbis coming and saying that this commandment is only for the Jewish people and not for mankind? First, let me explain why they're right. Purvu is not a commandment. And let me explain why. One last source in Sefer Breshit. There are a lot more, but this one. Open a Perek Aleph in Breshit. And Noach is not the first time that God says Purvu. Where's the first time that God says Purvu? To Adam HaRishon? Wait, look in the sixth day of creation. Look in the sixth day of creation. What's it say there? God makes man. That's page 6, isn't it? No, page 8. Page 8. God makes man B'tzelem Elohim. Oh, look in Pasuk Chavchet. That's it. God made man. Page 8 in your Chumash. Perek Aleph Pasuk Chavchet. Vayivarech Otam Elohim. Vayomer Lehem Elohim. Page 8. Perek Aleph Pasuk Chavchet. Yeah, chapter 1, verse 28. Vatem Purvu. Vayivarech Otam Elohim. Vayomer Lehem. Atem Elohim Purvu. Milot Aretz. Vikivshua. Urdu Bidgat Hayam. Bof Hashamayim. Why don't Chazal quote that one? Why isn't that a commandment? There's something fishy going on, isn't there? Who got that? How come there's something fishy going on? Because in day 5, when God made the fish, what did he tell them? Is that there or not? That's on page 6, isn't it? No, it's also on page 8. No, page 6. Where's day 5? Yeah, right there. Pasachaf. Page 6. Perakala Pasachaf. Yishutu amayim sher sefesh chaya b'chof yofef v'yivar li metatanim v'chule. And what's God tell him? On Pasuk Chavet. V'yivarech otam Elohim lemor puruvu milot etamayim b'yamim v'of yoreb b'shamayim v'ba'aret. Make sense? And doesn't make sense. What's going on? Are the fish commanded to do puruvu? But Chumash uses the same word puruvu for the fish and for mankind and then repeats it after the flood. And after, in case you never studied that, when the flood is over, I have a repeat of creation. It's a recreation, isn't it? It's not a story of destruction. God's recreating. And we have to, it's a topic for a shir by itself, but the story of recreation after the flood is very parallel to the creation from, at least from day 3 on. Remember on day 3 what happens? The water recedes. What happens at that? Yikabu amayim mitachalash v'tere hayabasha. What happens then? The water recedes and then they see the land. You got to send out those birds to find them. And then little by little things start to grow again. It's very parallel what happens after the flood to what happens in day 6. And then there's a whole thing with diet afterwards. And it's a story of recreation after the flood. And therefore, if I want to understand what does Purvu mean, when I'm looking at Chumash in general, I can't disconnect the Purvu in chapter 9 after the flood with the Purvu in chapter 1 in the time of creation. And if I'm talking about Pur Avu in creation, I can't detach Pur Avu to man, Tadam HaRishon, and Pur Avu to the fish. Now, have you ever seen an aquarium? You've seen a fish, right? Do fish fulfill the commandment of Pur Avu? Guppies do for sure, don't they? They're experts. But all the fish do. Because they're commanded? Why did fish fulfill Pur Avu? If you learn biology. For the same reason humans fulfill Pur Avu. Before signs got messed up into the thing. Why? It's part of nature. Pur Avu, when fish, our fruits will multiply, it's not because they're commanded. It's instinct. And when man does Pur Avu, it's instinct. And therefore, after the flood, it's instinct. Now, why is Chumash bothering to tell us in the story of creation that Pur Avu is one of man's instincts? Just like conquering. And Urduba v'kipshua, when man's job is to exert his dominion over the rest of creation. That's part of nature. But why is Chumash bothering to tell us that? Why do we need to know that fertility is a blessing from God? Would someone think something different? Why does Chumash need to tell us that God made the sun? Would someone think something different? If God didn't tell us that God made the sun, what would we think? Who else made the sun? Any other possibilities? Who else made the moon? If we didn't have Chumash, well, what did ancient man think? Wasn't there a sun god? Isn't that a logical conclusion when I look at nature? Doesn't it make sense that there's a sun god? What other logical reason there could be? He's very consistent, isn't he? He's constant. He comes up every morning. I can depend on him. I need him. Find me a nation that didn't have a sun god. Everyone has a sun god. What was his name in Egypt? We're going to talk about him at the Seder. Remember? Because the last Makkah, remember Choshech finishes him off? That's the last, yeah? Because it's logical, not because they're. It's a logical conclusion. Now, Chumash has to tell you it's not that God's not a son; it's the Son of God. He made it. S-U-N. He made that sun and he made the moon. Because otherwise, I might think Chumash is coming to tell you that there's one God. That's a big topic. Where does Chumash teach you? Listen, how Chumash teaches you monotheism. What is the name in Hebrew for a power? Any type of power. Elohim. It's an El. An El. Is something with power. And aloha. No. There's lots of powers out there, aren't there? There's the sun and the moon and the stars, and there's a lot of different powers of nature. There's a wind god, there's a rain god, there's a storm god, there's a sea god. There's, if you know any Disney movie. Yeah. There's lots of gods out there. And what's the name for a lot of gods together, for many gods? Elohim. You follow? That's many gods. Along comes Chumash, and makes a terrible grammatical mistake. In the first line, it says, Breshit. Instead of Baru, they say Bara. They conjugate Elohim in the singular instead of the plural. Isn't that a mistake in Hebrew? It should be Baru, not Bara. But why is Chumash making that mistake on purpose? What's it coming to teach you? What appears to be many gods is one God. Now we have Chumash teaches you monotheism in a half a line without realizing it. Rabbi Yehuda Levi realized it. He has a whole Mamar, the fourth Mamar in Kuzari, talks about that idea. Of how Chumash teaches you monotheism. Now that I know there's one God, now the question, what does God want man to do? Why did God make man? That's a big, it should be a topic in Chumash. Now, among the many gods that ancient man noticed, right, besides the sun god and the moon god, all these nature gods, there's a fertility god. Right? Remember Asherah? She gets really popular. Go to any museum. You see, there's tons of Asherah gods. Ever seen in the museum all those little figurines? Now, why would someone want to pray to an IVF doc, to a fertility doctor? Why would someone pray to a fertility god? Because there are people who want to have children and can't, or want to have good, healthy children and are worried. So who do you turn to? If you want rain, you turn to a rain god. His name is Baal. If you want fertility, you turn to a fertility god. If you want sun, you follow. If you don't want any more snow, go to Florida. Go to a bird god, or a Canada god, and they'll take you to Florida. You follow? Then first you have to talk to your real estate god. There's many gods who control your life, and you have to know how to play. Chumash is coming to tell you, hey, there's one God. Right? Mankind needs to know that there's one God. And he needs to know that man's ability to have children is a blessing from God. And therefore, what verb does Chumash use? Vayvarech. That's a blessing from God. Kihu mekor habracha. We think about that, don't we? For man to recognize that nature is a blessing from God, that's important. That's something very basic. And therefore, man needs to know that nature is a blessing, but nature is not many gods, it's one God. And man's ability to have children, and mankind's ability to have children and to reproduce itself, is a blessing from God. But God made man for a reason. God has expectations for man. And when man doesn't live up to those expectations, what does God do? Hit the reset button. He brought a flood. Started over again. And what did God do when the flood was over? What? No, he regretted starting over again. And therefore, what did he decide to do? I'm not going to start over again. And he makes a promise, doesn't he? He says, no, I destroyed it once. Chazal say he destroyed it 920 sometimes, 974 times, something like that. And what's God promised to do now, as soon as the flood is over?
No more
flood. Remember? And he makes how does he make the promise official? The first covenant of the Bible called Brit HaKeshet. You've heard about it, haven't you? Want to take a guess what chapter it's in? In Parshat Noach, right after Pur Avu. What you call the seven Noachai laws, which Chazal say only some of them are, the chapter, what's called Brit HaKeshet, the Rainbow Covenant, is right after these laws. Right after the flood, right after these laws, when Noach comes out of the ark, remember? He gives them some new laws, changes his diet a little bit, now you can have fleishiks on Shabbos, now you can have, you can eat meat, everyone knows the story. And he repeats, Pur Avu, like he said before, and then he's ready to make a new covenant. And the essence of the covenant is no more floods or no more recreation. Got that? And where's that going to be? That's going to be chapter 9, starting in Pasuk 8, Pasuk Chet. Now, I don't want to do something too complicated. Let me tell you the conclusion, and I'll work back for it. The way that Chumash tells the story of the covenant of the flood, called the Rainbow Covenant, there's even a bridge named after that near here. Right? Called Brit HaKeshet, isn't there? I mean, Brit HaKeshet is a Rainbow Covenant, which is all about God's connection to mankind. When you follow the wording of the covenant, it's a beauty, that's a foil or setting the stage for a next covenant in the Bible, between Elohim and man, or between Elohim and Avram Avinu, what we call, Brit Milah. It's Torah motions, so I can say things like that. It's what they call, I don't want to say, E for Elohim. Remember God has two names in Chumash? When you follow Chumash carefully, Chumash is up to something amazing. Chumash uses two different names for God. You know what the Bible critics did with that? They do a very good analysis and reach a totally wrong conclusion. Because man's relationship with God is complex. Because sometimes God is distant and he's like the God of nature and I can't see God. It's difficult. And sometimes you can't miss him. That's Shem Yud Kev Vav Kev. And to think that the God of history is also the God of nature, there are many difficult things, obstacles for man to overcome to begin to realize there really is only one God. Because someone thinking normal thinks there's many gods. And even if I narrow down to one or two, it still seems like two different gods. Nature's one thing, but history is a different God. The God of history, that's Brit Ben Abtarim. Isn't Brit Ben Abtarim history? And that's God Yud Kev Vav Kev. His presence is felt. Yud Kev Lihiot. Hayahu Beviyeh. Sometimes I see God's presence being felt. Sometimes I know he's there, but I can't see him, but I can only perceive him. It's not too often that God comes into history and does miracles. What's a great example of God coming down and showing you can't miss him? Isn't that the 10 plagues in Kriyat Yam Suf? But that's rare in history. We make a big deal about it, but that doesn't happen every day. Every day is Elohim. To make sure it's clear, I think on Yom Kippur, what do we say at the very end? Hashem Yud Kev Vav Kev, who Elohim, it's the same God. That's a Chiddush, but it's central to being Jewish. Now, Chumash wants you to appreciate that. It's complex. So Chumash gives two different stories, and you have to study the book and realize what's going on. But again, that's a topic, that's as far as methodology. But I want to use that idea. Elohim is the name that Chumash uses for God, the God of nature, the God who made nature. Now, this God who made nature was unhappy and recreated. And therefore, the Mabul story, when it's over, has a covenant that God makes with his name Elohim. Now, which name of God should choose Avram Avinu? The God of history or the God of nature? you know what's going to happen. Chumash would do both, because it's teaching you something. And what name of God does Chumash use when Abram is first chosen? Parashat Lech Lecha. Vayomer Hashem Yudkei Vavkei al Avram Lech Lecha. And Avram listens. And Avram, and God, Yudkei Vavkei, makes a brit with Avram about his history. You have children and you'll become a nation, but you have to go through slavery first. That's the whole topic of the Exodus. But in chapter 17, for the first time, God uses a new name to talk to Avram Avinu. And that's going to be key for our share. Right? What did we call that covenant? In chapter 17? No. Chapter 15. That's okay. God's name Elohim, the covenant with Elohim is Brit Milah. Let me give one last word of introduction to explain how important it is. Who here has been to a bris? There's probably one going on somewhere in Shul with all the food here, all the cars here. There's got to be a bris here somewhere. Statistically, there's bound to be an eviction like this. Now, you've all been to a bris. If you're playing this association game, you know, playing whatever those games are, pantomime, or whatever it is, password. If I say bris, what would someone say? Mila. Or in English, they'll say circumcision. When you say the word bris, people think circumcision, or bagels and lox, or coming late to work, or something like that. What will no one think of when they say the word bris? Covenant, correct? Because what does the word mean in Hebrew? But who thinks about a covenant and a bris? I mean, we invite Eliel, maybe because of that, or maybe it's the other way around. But in Hebrew, the word bris means covenant. So what's circumcision? Circumcision isn't the covenant. What's circumcision? It's an oath bris. Listen to the moil. Ois bris kodesh. The bris is not circumcision. The reminder of the bris. Understand? There's a bris and there's an oath bris. Is that clear? No. And did you ever wonder what is the bris of a bris? When you go to a bris, the circumcision ceremony, what covenant is there? What covenant are we talking about? Because the circumcision is the oath bris. Let me give you some examples. What we call Brit HaKeshet, rainbow covenant. Is the covenant about rainbows? What's the covenant about? What's the topic of the covenant? What did God promise? No more floods, or no more recreation. So what's the rainbow doing? It's an oath. Don't you remember that? The rainbow is a sign of the covenant. It's an oath brit. Okay? We make a covenant in Har Sinai, don't we? Called Brit Sinai. Does that have an oath brit? You sang about it yesterday. What song was that about? Shabbat is an oath brit. You say, you know it by heart. Shabbat is the oath brit of Har Sinai. Our weekly reminder of Brit Sinai is Shabbat. And it's the same words you'll see later on. Now, if I take that parallel, if I want to understand what is the Brit of Brit Milah that God makes with Avram Avinu, then I have to go back and see how Chumash words the covenant of the flood. So that's what we're going to do now. I need a board, but you can just go over it later at home. I'll do it the real simple way. I want to show you the key words. The word Brit, God's name Elohim, the key phrases of Brit Milah, and then we're going to see the exact same words in Brit Keshet. It's almost the same author. It's the same style. It's awesome what Chumash does. Now watch what happens. Look in Perek Tet. Go back to Perek Tet. Page 42, right? Page 42. Actually, the very bottom of 40 again. Right after Pur Urvu is Pasuk Zayin. Batem Pur Urvu. Shusub Arts Urvuba. And what does Elohim tell Noach? V'yomer Elohim Noach v'abanav v'pasachet. V'ani nini mekim et briti itchem et zarachem acharechem v'et kol nefesh haya asher itchem b'ofu chulei. I'm going to make a covenant with you. Anyone coming out of the Teva. Pasuk Yud Aleph. We're going to read it three times to make sure it's ingrained. Verse 11. Page 42. Chapter 9. Verse 11. V'akimoti et briti itchem. Remember those words. V'lo yikaret kol basar od b'mei ha-mabu. V'lo yi od mabu l'shachet ha-aretz. זאת עוד הברית אשר נינתם ביני וביניכם ובין נפש החיה אשר איתכם ודורות עולם את קשתי נתתי בנן והייתה לו עוד ברית ביני ובין הארץ. כתב? והקימותי את בריתי ביני, what's it say again? פסק ראה, והקימותי בריתי איתכם ולא יקרא את כל בשר לא יהיה עוד מבול and the old ברית will be קשת. Therefore, what is the brit of brit keshet? No more flood, no more recreation, and the old brit is going to be the keshet, the rainbow. There's an oath brit, there's Beni Ubein, and there is Shem Elokim. Before you forget all that, zoom to chapter 17. In Bereshit, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. Just so you don't forget it. Page 80, probably 74. Page 74, before you forget all that. Pasuk 72, Page 72, and the stone. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. Isn't it word for word? Almost word for word, but totally parallel. Pasuk Zayin. Vakimoti briti beni ubenecha. Ubein zarcha charech ledoran debrit olam. Yotla lachim lo zarcha charecha. Natatecha zarcha et eretz mukrach et eretz kenan lachazut olam. Vaiti lachem lalohim. And Pasuk Tet, on top of 74. Vayomer lehim Avram, batad briti tishmor v'chulei. Zot briti asher tishmoru. Unmatem, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Unmatem et besaru latchem. Vayalo od brit beni ubenechem. That? We read about it in yesterday's parsha as well. Yom Hashmini, Yimo Psar Orlato. What do we have parallel? Vakimoti et Briti, Benu Benechem, Benu Ben Aris, Benu Ben Yisrael. And I have an Ot Brit. The Ot Brit is circumcision. You can't miss the parallel. Now, if I follow the parallel and look at Pasuk Zayin again, what is the Brit, the Brit Milah? What's parallel to, I'm not going to bring another flood? What phrase? Look at Pasuk Zayin. You can't miss it. Liot Lachal Elohim. It's not just the Brit of Brit Milah, it's the Brit of the Bible. If you read it carefully, even not carefully. The Bible is about a covenant between God and the people. What's the corollary? Liot Lachal Elohim, Batem, Tudu'am. Remember in Yom Kippur, Anu Amecha, Vat Eloheinu? At the end of Shema, we mumble this line to remember the Exodus. What is it? Ani Hashem Elokechem, Asher Tzeiti Etchem Eretz Mitzrayim. There it is. We don't need to remember that he took us out of Egypt. We need to remember why he took us out of Egypt. And why did God take us out of Egypt? To be our boss. To be his nation. God chooses a nation to serve him. That's why we stated, what's Shema about? Shema is accepting God that he's your boss. Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. At the end of Shema, that's why the last parsha of Shema relates to Shema. Because I'm taking upon myself to keep the mitzvot, that he's my boss and I'm a servant. And the tzitzit reminds me that I have to keep all of his laws. And therefore, the concept of Brit Sinai begins with Brit Milah. And God is telling Avraham Avinu, I'm going to promise you children, you're going to be the forefather of a nation, and you're going to serve me, I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. Liot lachal Elohim. And as a reminder of that, what are you going to do? What's going to be your reminder? Circumcision. Why? Everyone under why circumcision, the Ot Brit, the Brit Milah? It's a strange, and we take it for granted. In fact, it's so basic to Judaism that if you don't keep it, you're cut off from the covenant. That's why you're Chayv Karet for not doing Brit Milah. But what makes it so special? At the Seder, we're gonna drink how many? Four cups, right? And we parallel that with Apostolic. Votseiti, remember? Vitsauti. What's the fourth cup? Vagalti? No, Vagalti is the third cup, not the fourth cup. People get mixed up in Judaism. They think Gula is the ultimate. Gula is a precursor for... Gula is only a Hechsher mitzvah. But Gula enables me to serve God. The goal isn't to be redeemed. The goal is to use redemption to serve God. That's why it's the third cup, not the fourth cup. What's the fourth cup? After we're out of Egypt. V'lakachti etchem... I'm sure you remember. If not, look later on in your own. Chapter 6, verse 6 in Shemot. We know it by heart, don't we? That's the Brit of the Bible. Because the first three, the next one, is Har Sinai. The one we don't drink to, or maybe Eliyahu, because we're usually not in Israel. That's the last step. After we get the Torah, now we have where to keep it. Now, therefore, the Brit of the Bible is to be God's nation. It begins at Brit Sinai. Got that? It becomes official at... it begins at Brit Milah. It becomes official at Brit Sinai. We'll read about it in a second. Now, what I want you to take a look at is go back to chapter 17 now in your Chumash, page 72. And look how Brit Milah begins. Look how beautiful and carefully Brit Milah begins. Vayavram ben tishim shana v'teisha shanim. Vayira Hashem el Avram, that's what he's been talking to now. Vayomer elav, ani kel shaddai, yitalech lefanei v'yatamim. God has a special name now for the Avot called Kel Shaddai. Right? God's about to give a special name to Avram Avinu, and now in that context, God has a special name. Kel Shaddai is special for the Avot. We have it one time in Shmot. I'm going to take where? Right before the four cups, isn't it? In Parshat Vayera. Later, look at it. It's exactly the same thing. Now, but not briti benu benecha. That's cute. What's God tell Avram? I'm going to make a covenant with you and multiply you. Listen carefully. I'm going to make a covenant with you, and what's it about? To be the father of many nations? How did you understand that pasuk? Is that privilege or purpose? Is that reward or purpose? Vayitel av hamon goyim. What does it mean? What's it mean? He's the father of many nations. How many nations come from Avram Avinu? How many? It's not talking about Yishmael. It can't be talking about Yishmael. You know why? He's born already. And we're talking about Brit Milah, which is, it's not about one people. This isn't reward. You can have lots of Beinachlach. You can have lots of kids. They're going to cause civil wars. You're not the father of many nations here. You're a father to many nations, meaning, Yosef uses the same word. What did he tell his brothers to tell his father? I'm an av to Paro. You know what that means? You know what I'm talking about? You can be a father to someone. You want to take a look at it? Do you know what I'm talking about? A father can mean a biological father. A father can be a guide. I'll be like a father to you. Take a look at it, because you don't want to talk. Look at Parshat Vayechi. Vayigash, I'm sorry. Look in Vayigash. Parshat Vayigash. Someone find it for me. It's early in the beginning. After, right when he says, I'm Yosef, your brother, probably in the second Aliyah. Page 252. Perek Mem Hei is going to be in. The bottom line, 252. The bottom line of 252. Shlishi. Chapter 45, verse 8. Page 252 in the stone. Perek Mem Hei Pasachet. Vata lo atem shlachem uti hena, ki ha Elohim, vaisimeni la'av the paro, ladon lecho beito, Moshe b'cho asher lo. He's the man everyone goes to in Egypt. He's the advisor to everybody. He's like a father to Paro in Egypt. You understand what an av means? When God tells Avram Avinu, I'm choosing you to be an av among goyim, I'm choosing you to take a leadership role among nations, you'll be a model nation that people will learn from. In my opinion, that has to be pshat and brit milah. He's not promising you're going to have Yishmael and B'nai Keturah and they're going to fight with each other for history. Right? That's not why he's choosing you. That might have happened. But when God, at brit milah, it makes sense, I'm making a covenant, give me the purpose, not the promise. Not the reward. Tell me what the purpose of it is. And God tells Avram, you're going to be an Avam Ungoyim. You'll see how they're related in a minute. Now go back. Because of this, you need a new name. I just had a new name, Kel Shaddai. You have a new name. What's your new name going to be? Avraham. Avraham. Look at Pasuk Vav. You're going to multiply. I'm going to give you for the purpose of nations. You're going to be sovereign one day. Because at Har Sinai, what's going to say? Now, God wants a nation to serve him. God doesn't begin with a ready-made nation. He doesn't take an existing nation and say, you're chosen. He's going to clone a nation. Doesn't he? And this is a cloning process. And it begins with the seed of Avram Avinu. The covenant is not official yet. Why? Because this is a covenant between God and the people. It starts with a seed, like a tree, but a seed's not a tree. One day, it'll grow into a tree. Now, if this is a seed process, it's going to be refined, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. When we finally figure out who the seed is, remember Yaakov? And he has kids. He's going to begin the nation. What's going to become the womb of the nation? In case you follow Yechezkel to Seder. Mitzrayim is the womb. When does the water break? In Yitzhak Mitzrayim. God, remember, doesn't Yechezkel compare us to an abandoned baby in the desert? It's a Seder. You're going to mumble a pasuk like that. Anyone remember it? it's an X-rated pasuk, the one next to it. So you probably it's late in the Seder. It's in Aramei Avin Avi. It's really cool. Pay attention one time. They know what to quote. The analogy is beautiful. Now we're born. Now we're a nation born. We're a startup nation, whatever that book's called. But now we're a nation because we're a people. Avram was only 70 nefesh. He's not a people yet. Now we're a people. Egypt turned us into a people. Now as a people, I can make the covenant can be official. The covenant that began at Brit Milah is now official. We call that Brit Sinai. Because now it can work. So now we need a land. But we have to have a guide, which will be the Torah. You follow the parallel? Now, why is Chumash using the same words? But let me show you we'll save it for a minute before I lose track. I want to explain to you why is Chumash using the same words of Brit Milah and Brit Keshet, and then later Brit Sinai, we'll see the same words. But why is Chumash using the same style of wording? Because Pasuk Zayin, the next line is going to be Vakimoti Briti, Yubini Benech, Liot Lachal Elohim, and then the reminder of the Brit. It's because of Brit Keshet, because of the Rainbow Covenant, I need Brit Milah. Let me explain what I mean. If I want to do linkage between these covenants, it's not just a bunch of stories. Chumash is explaining to us why we're chosen. There's a connection between God's promise not to bring another flood and God's choosing Avraham Avinu. There has to be. Because what price does God pay for making that promise, no more recreation? It's like every same problem parents have with kids. You're stuck with them. I can't sell them. I mean, you shouldn't. They're yours. You know what I mean? You're stuck with them? God is stuck, kibyochol, with his creation. Now, what can he do when they're bad? You can blame it on the neighbors. You follow what I mean? Mankind has God, and they're forever together. That's it. God said no more. But what do you do if you have something that breaks? I can start over, I can buy a new one, or fix it. Now, the first time, what did God do when it went bad? He started over. What's he doing this time? He's got to fix it. God needs an agent to fix mankind. What you say in Alenu Letakeinu Olam B'Malchut Shaddai. What God has a master plan. What's he going to do? He's going to enter a relationship with a nation forever, an eternal relationship with a nation. And that nation has a goal to bring the concept of godliness to mankind, so there shouldn't be another flood. So there shouldn't be a need for a flood. Instead of starting over again, let's fix things. 5-minute warning? Okay, now, watch. Watch what happens. If that's the case, I need a nation to always to be there to remind mankind about God. How we do it? We're a model nation. We do it by in a passive way, by personal example. The rest is that's to show already how Chumash works. But listen carefully. What's the advantage of a nation serving God as opposed to an individual serving God? First, there's numbers, but at a qualitative level, there's many gods who have klanim, who represent them. What's the advantage, what qualitative advantage does God have by having a nation serving him as opposed to an individual? What? Yeah, permanence. An individual, on Me'av Yisrim, which is a nice topic in the flood, and Noach and Moshe, remember? If you know. Now, Ben can only live on Me'av Yisrim. I want someone forever. Now, humans are not eternal. But a nation can be eternal, correct? If a nation can be eternal, but it's not automatically eternal, what's necessary for a nation to be eternal? What? You have to have children, don't you? And when Am Yisrael takes the commitment at Har Sinai to be God's nation forever, an eternal commitment, you were there. You understand what the mission, what that Midrash means? We saw you at Sinai. It's not just a website. But it works. It's a perfect name for a website. Whoa, isn't it awesome? You know what Sayu at Sinai is? It's a Shidduch web. It's perfect. I joke for the Kohanim. We have this thing called Sayu on Sinai. That's just for... Now, that's the upgrade level. But you have to pay for that site. I shouldn't get sidetracked. Listen, is my point clear now? The Jewish people have an eternal commitment to God. But to be God's people forever, you have to have children. Not because it says Purvu, because it says Vatem Tili Mamlechet Kohen Begoy Kadosh, because that's what Chumash is about. It's an eternal brit, Zachar Le'olam Brito. It's an eternal covenant of God and the people, and therefore to be God's people, you're not only committed that you serve God, every Jew is committed to the next generation, and the next generation. In fact, but it's not enough to have children. What else do you have to do? Having children is not enough. What else do you have to do? You have to teach them. There's a whole group from Or Chaim here. Look how much money it costs, Jewish education. But what pasuk did the rabbis use to learn our obligation to teach Torah? Vishinantam levanecha. Look how much of the religion is transgenerational. The classic Torah study is transgenerational. Vishinantam levanecha v'dibartabam. And therefore, it's not only we don't only have a commitment to have children, we have to teach the children. It makes it to the Ten Commandments. We're commanded in the Luchot HaBrit, not just Shabbat, which is our weekly reminder. We're also committed to teach respective tradition. It's in Luchot HaBrit. There's something covenantal about them. I'm your boss, and you can't work for anybody else. You follow? But that's why Shabbat and Kibbutz HaRim are in the Ten Commandments. Now, if that's the case, then why are the Jewish people commanded to have children? Not because it says Vatem Puruhu. Why are we commanded to have children? Because we took upon ourselves at Har Sinai, Vatem Tilim, Amlechet Koni, V'Goy Kadosh. Okay? Now, there's a lot, that's Pshutosho Torah. Now, for mankind, it's a blessing. Of course it's a blessing, because mankind has to realize there's a God, and the blessing of fertility is a blessing from God. For the Jewish people, it's an obligation to be God's people. And then we have to teach them Torah. Now, but the rabbis need a pasuk, don't they? So what pasuk did they pick? It's beautiful what they did. Don't you see what they did? How they darshaned that Vatem Puruhu. It's and the pasuk right before Brit Keshet, isn't it? They're onto something. You follow? If you know something cute. How do the rabbis know a goy can't keep Shabbat? The real reason is because Shabbat is the old Brit. Right? So what pasuk did Chazal quote? For I go, Yom Bom V'Layla Lo Yishvotu. They're quoting from Brit Keshet. They know how to read Chumash. But you don't appreciate what they're saying. So where does Chumash actually say Vatem Puruhu? Well, when is Brit Milah over? What makes Brit Milah official? God changes Abraham's name to Abraham. Where? In Brit Milah. Take a look. When is that process? When is the seed? When is the refining of the seed over? With what? Which forefather? Remember, Yaakov's got to go through a little, it's a test tube baby, they're getting the right seed there. Doesn't Yaakov get a name change? From what to what? Yeah. So he has to serve it, he's got to fight for it. But when does it become official? Open up Perek Lamed Hey, and we'll finish with this. Open up chapter 35. Pasuk, page 188. Pasuk 10, on top of 188. Chapter 35, verse 9, Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Tet. Vayir Elokim al Yaakov, od bevo mipadan aram. Vayvarech oto. Have it? Everyone have that? Avram, Yaakov's on his way back from Padan Aram. Everyone have page 188? And he blesses him. He just came back. Vayir Elohim, see God's name again? Elokim. Shimcha Yaakov, lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov, ki misal yeshmecha, v'yikrat shema of Israel. Now it's official. Now we have the seed that's going to become, that's going to start Sefer Shemot. Now, Vayomer lo Elohim, ani kel Shaddai, ring a bell? Where's that from? Is that Brit Milah? Pray up, pray Orvei. That doesn't mean pray in English, it means pray in Hebrew. We pray for that. But it's pray Orvei, and that's a commandment now, isn't it? Pray Orvei. Now, Yaakov, now I know who's Jewish. Now it's a command, pray Orvei. And listen to what continues. Isn't that Brit Milah? You'll be a kingdom. But now we got to go through Egypt. Now we got to bring Brit Ben Abtarim into the picture. Now it would be Yosef and his brothers, and the rest is Chumash. That's the same thing in Brit Milah. We promise the land, and Elohim leaves, and then he puts on Matzeva, and that'll be the place of the Mikdash. Got the idea? Now, let me just prove to you, you have the same words by Brit Sinai. Remember this year coming up in Shemitah? Open up Parshat Bahar, we'll just go right to Bechukotai. Page 714. Page 712. Page 710. Page 708, I'm sorry. 708. Parshat Bechukotai, page 708, that's Perek Chavav, Pasuk Gimel in Vayikra. Page 708, at Bechukotai, if you follow my laws and keep my things, and I'll give the rain at the right time. He goes on and on and on. Look in Pasuk Tet. If you follow my laws, Pasuk Tet. This is all the end of Bahar Sinai. Page 708, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Tet, chapter 26, verse 9. Ufaniti alechem, vifreti etchem. Oh. Ufaniti alechem, I'll turn to you. Vifreiti etchem, virbeiti etchem. Vakimoti et briti etchem. Where's that from? Vakimoti et briti etchem was brit keshet, brit milah, not brit sinai. It's bound to be. Okay? Vifreiti etchem, virbeiti etchem. Purubum. Vachatem yeshan v'chumnechaz v'chulei v'netagish mechem b'itam. Okay? Pasuk yedbet, back to Gane. V'italachti b'tochechem. V'italach lefanai v'yatamim, v'italachti b'tochechem. V'iti lechem l'Elohim. Vatem tuli la'am. Ani Hashem lechem, v'shoteiti etchem, Eretz Mitzrayim. Har Sinai. You follow? Isn't it all there? That's the follow. Now, just to summarize, my time's way up. I hope it's clear what we tried to show you. When I look at Chumash, not a little pasuk here and there. When I follow the theme of Chumash, when Chazal come and have the audacity to tell us that when it says in Breshit, right with the seven Noachai laws, Vatem Peruvu is talking to us, which sounds ridiculous when you hear it the first time, when you follow what's going on Chumash, they're right on the mark. Follow? Because for mankind, it's a blessing. Of course it's a blessing. But it's part of the creation story. For the Jewish people, it's an obligation, because it's an eternal obligation to be God's people. And using and quoting that pasuk as a rabbinic source, when you understand the background behind it, is so meaningful. Because it's time, it's showing you the deep connection between the covenants in the Bible and how the stories in Breshit, the story of the flood in Brit Keshet, is the background of foil to appreciate what happens at Har Sinai and the whole process of God picking our forefathers and the purpose of our being chosen. And therefore, when we celebrate the Seder, remember, we're remembering God keeping his covenant with the Jewish people. We remember not that we're chosen, but why we're chosen. And therefore, when the pasuk that we remember every day is at Mitzrayim, that phrase is the key behind this whole thing. And therefore, for the Jewish people, it's an obligation, not just to have children, but to keep them. And we fulfill that at a communal level as well, not just as people. And for mankind, it's a blessing that man has to realize that, but that's our job to teach by example. Okay, I'll be around for questions, but...
Right.
There'll be a short sheet. I'm sorry.
There is a short sheet. I have it.
Oh, you have it? Okay. Yeah. So there's a review of the shear. Want to give it up?
I'll give it up. Okay, we'll take a 4.5-minute break.